It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
With you this morning. You guys want to try that again? See if that montage will work? All right.
She clearly considers this an attempted rape. She believes that if it were not for the severe intoxication of Brett Kavanaugh, she would have been raped.
She should not be ignored. She should not be insulted. She should be heard, but so should he.
We want to go through a process. We want to make sure everything is perfect. Everything is just right. I wish the Democrats could have done this a lot sooner because they had this information for many months and they shouldn't have waited till literally the last days. They should have done it a lot sooner.
All right, that was the Katz is her name. She is the attorney for the accuser of Brett Kavanaugh. And then it was Kellyanne Conway from the White House saying she should be heard. And then you heard the president in the last part of that. This, I believe, is the most important story today. I mean, there are a lot of other things I'm dying to talk to you about, but we're going to sit on this for a little bit because really the future of the Supreme Court, we should not be surprised that the left will do anything to stop a conservative nominee for the Supreme Court, because even if we don't understand it, they understand that if the court swings to the right, they, for the next several decades, are going to have to fight like crazy because they can have as many lower court judges on their team, activist judges who don't care about the law, as they want. But when things get to the Supreme Court to be adjudicated, a Supreme Court that has a conservative majority is going to stop the things that they want to do. They fully understand that. That's why the left is completely unified and in full attack mode to stop Brett Kavanaugh. So there are lots of things to tell you. In fact, let me just say this. I probably have well over 100 email in my inbox just in the last 24 hours on this alone. And so I've been trying to read as much about it as I can and figure out what is the best thing to communicate to you about this. I think perhaps Chuck Schumer is the voice, leader, of course, the minority leader in the Senate. And you could get the attitude of the left. They're smelling blood. They see blood in the water. They're excited about this. And this is what Chuck Schumer had to say.
I believe she's credible. A lot of my Republican friends don't. What are they afraid of? They're afraid that she might be very persuasive? Well, if she is, it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
So what's happened is Brett Kavanaugh's vote out of the Judiciary Committee was supposed to take place this Thursday. You know, he'd been vetted for like 32 hours. You saw some of those hearings. If you listen to this show, you at least heard part of it. And you saw how thoroughly he was vetted. He was asked, I think, nearly 1,500 written questions. Aside from that, silly things. How many season tickets did he buy to the Washington baseball games? Who did he give those tickets to? How much were they worth? Things like that. Just ridiculous. They have tried to stop Brett Kavanaugh in every way that they can. Dianne Feinstein, who has been in the Senate for, you know, decades, she's in her late 80s. It's just amazing how these people, don't they have a life? At some point, don't you say, it's time to go home and be with my grandchildren and have a life and not have to care? You know, you've put your time in, but no, she's up for re-election again. And Dianne Feinstein is just up to no good. I don't know what to say. She used to actually sound at some points, and even now I think she does. She's very, very good. She sounds almost like a conservative. She's very deliberate as she talks and very reasonable. And but let me just tell you what she's actually doing. You'll hear this theme from me. Don't look at what people say. Look at what they do. She's had this letter from this accuser claiming, she's had it since July. She's claiming that she passed it on to the FBI. They're claiming that this Christine Blasey Ford had a polygraph from a retired FBI agent that proved she was telling the truth. But here's the curious thing. During the hearings, the 32 hours, when Dianne Feinstein exhaustively interrogated Brett Kavanaugh, she never brought this up. And when she had private meetings with him, she never brought this up. So suddenly, after the hearings are closed and all he's been thoroughly vetted, the FBI, by the way, I think has investigated him seven different times because of all the positions he's held. So then suddenly, Dianne Feinstein hints that she has an anonymous letter from an anonymous writer about a story that she can't really reveal. And that's how this started. It started with the cooperation of the New York Times and the Washington Post. I know that's a shock, but that's how it happened. And then Christine Blasey Ford finally made herself known Sunday through the Washington Post. And of course, the story is that Christine Blasey Ford didn't want to, it was embarrassed. It was hard for her to come forward and she hesitated and she just was torn. But that this event, I should read to you her accusation just to remind you of what she's accused Brett Kavanaugh of. It's in one of my 100 pieces of paper here, but basically she says she was like 15, Brett Kavanaugh was 17. As she recalls, she doesn't recall the house, she doesn't recall even the year, and she's not even sure she was 15. She says that she went to the restroom in the upper floor, and the Brett Kavanaugh and his friend, whose name is, I think, Mark Judge, were at the top of the stairs, and they pulled her into a bedroom, and that Brett Kavanaugh, who was very drunk, and got on top of her and tried to remove her outer clothing and her bathing suit. And when she started to call out for help, he put his hand over her mouth. And then his friend Mark Judge jumped on top of the both of them and they fell to the floor. And somehow she got up and somehow she got home, but she doesn't remember how. And did not speak of that until 2012. Now, this supposedly, according to her, maybe happened sometime around 1983. She didn't tell anyone about it till 2012. And a therapy session with her, marriage counseling session with her husband. She looks to that as part of her proof, but the marriage counselor, his notes do not really match her telling in terms of the number of people there. It's just very, very, you know, she doesn't recall, but she's boldly coming forward. But before she boldly came forward, she scrubbed all of her social media so that people are now trying to figure out, you know, exactly who she is. We do know quite a bit more about her. She is a Democratic activist. She was involved in a march against President Trump, and she wore one of the pink, cute little women part hats that was made to look like a brain as well as the other part of a woman. And she is a Democratic activist. She's donated to Hillary Clinton on numerous occasions Act Blue? Act Blue, which is a grassroots movement to stop conservatives everywhere around the country. And I don't have the list in front of me, but trust me, now we know she's a Democratic activist. She's a law professor. Or she's not a law professor. I think she's a psychology professor at Palo Alto. So we're getting bits of information about her, even though she did scrub her social media. I guess you can't scrub quite everything. So she's made more than 60 donations to liberal causes, with almost four dozen to a pro-abortion group, Emily's List. She's donated to the DNC, to Hillary Clinton more than 10 times, Bernie Sanders, and of course, as I said, the progressive organizing group Act Blue. Those are the highlights of what we know. Her attorney, Deborah Katz, is an attorney who's represented several women in the Me Too movement. Just a little bit of a touch of Deborah Katz and what she has to say about this clip four.
No one in their right mind, regardless of their motive, would want to inject themselves into this process and face the kind of annihilation that she will be subjected to by those who want this nominee to go through. This is not a politically motivated action. In fact, she was quite reluctant to come forward, and she was, in fact, outed after she had made the decision not to come forward.
You know what? Really? You write a letter to a congressman and you say this, but, you know, I don't want my name to be revealed, but this is, I feel compelled that this boy at the age of 17 was very drunk and jumped on me and tried to remove my clothes and then put his hand over my mouth. And then his friend interceded and I left. And that's traumatized her for life and that's her story. And she doesn't want to go public with it. That's what we're being told. She also has told us that she submitted to a polygraph test and Dianne Feinstein has told us that she's submitted this evidence, this story, to the FBI. And maybe I failed to tell you that the FBI said, we can't, are you kidding me? This is, the statute of limitations is way beyond this. There's no crime was ever reported. The police and the Maryland County, which she claims happened, are not investigating it because they say no crime was ever reported. There is nothing to report because all it is her story, and not even a very incriminating story, it seems to me, as kids. Look, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not speaking as a Christian. A Christian boy should not comport himself this way, and a Christian girl, you know, who knows, they're Catholics. They should not be comporting themselves this way. My understanding is, in her own words, she was drinking too. So they got into trouble at a party. Somebody did. Whether it was Brett Kavanaugh or not, I don't know. Brett is categorically denying it. He said he didn't even know who the accuser was. And now that he knows, he said he knew that it had never happened. And certainly now that he knows her, it had never happened. So what's happening? Well, Chuck Grassley has postponed the vote on Thursday, which is a delightful thing for the Democrats. And now on Monday, Christine Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh are going to be testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Can you just imagine this? Did we not just go through this with the disruptions in the hearing room, the antics of the senators on that committee? And now you're going to put Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford, who allegedly is traumatized by this, to be answering the questions of the likes of Spartacus the others running for president, who just don't seem to have any sense of dignity. Dianne Feinstein has disqualified herself forever from being a senator to be admired. This is my personal opinion. So two of Kavanaugh's ex-girlfriends were on, I think, with Martha McCallum last night, and I thought you might find it interesting to hear what they had to say. Let's listen.
He was a responsible guy. He was someone who did have a beer, but he was never out of control. He never became someone different after drinking.
And all of the times, all the years that I've known Brett, even if we had a beer, he was always in complete control. And he was actually one of the guys that, if we were at a social gathering, he'd be the guy to look out for other people. And all of the years that I've known him, like I said, over 35 years, he's been nothing but honest and trustworthy and respectful.
All right, so that was two of Brett Kavanaugh's girlfriends and then longtime friends after that testifying on his behalf. I think something like 70 high school classmate girls have come out with a statement of support. 70. Can you imagine 70 people from your high school coming out testifying to your character? I think that's pretty amazing, honestly. So there, you know, this next circus is going to begin on Monday. And then now we're finding out that Dianne Feinstein is now hinting that she has more secrets on Kavanaugh that are going to going to be coming forth. And the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee are refusing to cooperate with the Republicans to have just a conference call so they can talk about this. And they Senator Grassley wanted them to talk with Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford on the phone and just talk to them, and they refused to do it, refused to respond. So here we go. This is the way it looks. So what I'd like to know, honestly, today is what you think about all of this. I'm not very careful in expressing my views, really, am I? I've already told you in my tone of voice and the things that I've said in the way I've described it, pretty much how I feel. But I really want to know what you think about this. Should Christine Blasey Ford be allowed to go before the Judiciary Committee and make her charges? Is this a smart move or is it not a smart move? Just the broader implications of a woman coming forward to make an accusation against a man 35 years after the alleged assault, or whatever you want to call it, interaction, sexual encounter, there being no way to disprove something like that. What do you think about the repercussions of that for our society? Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios. It's another lovely day. Be right back after this.
Len Ingram of Redeem Clean felt God call him to support the American Family Association.
I'm a laundryman. I'm the son of a laundryman, too. I love clean clothes. I love the business. I love everything about it. This project was built exclusively to support AFA and AFR. There's no strings attached. Another thing that I would like to see come out of this is that I would like to see other business people feel a calling to support ministries wherever and whatever they do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and get Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Hurricane Harvey was the second worst disaster ever seen on American soil. 8 Days of Hope responded to that need in Houston, Texas, back in March, where 4,700 volunteers came from all over the world in all 50 states to love and serve people in need. When we left, we realized that there was still much more to do. So many people still were hurting, hundreds of thousands of families looking for somebody, anybody to help them. Here's your chance. 8 Days of Hope 16 will be back in Southeast Houston October 13th through October 20th. It's free. We provide the food and lodging. We're looking for skilled professionals, people who are semi-skilled, and people with no skills or less skilled and want to give back. For more information, you go to our website, 8daysofhope.com. We're expecting about 2,500 volunteers from all over America to go back to Houston to love and serve those in need. Hope to see you in Houston, 8daysofhope.com. For more information, 8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TMU. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TMU. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
I warn you, the Democrats might try and bork Judge Brett Kavanaugh by pulling an Anita Hill, and that's exactly what they've done, dropping an 11th-hour bombshell sexual misconduct allegation dating back to his high school years. Judge Kavanaugh denies the accusations, and there's no proof, no evidence. 65 women who say they knew the judge in high school vouched for his character. The FBI conducted 6 background checks, not a single word of sexual misconduct. So what's this really all about? It's a smear job. Dirty tricks, much like Democrats pulled on Robert Bork and Clarence Thomas. Democrats see an opportunity to use the Me Too movement for political gain in the midterm elections. It's despicable, and I suspect the American people will see this for what it really is, a desperate last-minute attempt to take down a good and decent conservative. And we've got to make sure that does not happen. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Democratic Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois. Senator, thanks so much for joining us. Are you encouraged to hear Senator Kennedy say that Kavanaugh's accuser will be heard in a public hearing?
Well, I am encouraged to hear that. I hope that she gets a fair hearing and that we give her a chance to really talk about and tell her story. You know, I've dealt with victims of military sexual trauma, and one of the things that I learned doing that work is that we must first and foremost protect and support the alleged victim as they come forward. This is a very difficult thing that she is doing, and I applaud her for her courage.
Kavanaugh will also have his chance to respond publicly to this allegation. But Senator Hatch already said that Kavanaugh denies being at the party to begin with and says his accuser might have mistaken him for someone else. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I've heard, you know, many predators say and refute allegations against them. I think what we need to do is we need to hear from both sides. And this is why it's so important for the FBI to investigate these allegations so that it doesn't become a he said, she said kind of an issue. Again, I learned about this through my work with military sexual trauma. This is why we must have an independent investigation into it. And we must trust the victim as they come forward. And we must take this with all seriousness and not let, partisanship get into the way of really finding out the truth. This is, after all, somebody that's being nominated to the highest court in the land for the rest of his life.
Thank you, Senator Tammy Duckworth. You know, the ignorance, I have to say, they are, the left, they're so good. They are so good. You listen to that, you listen to Dianne Feinstein, the FBI, where we've handed this over to the FBI and they should investigate it. What do you think the FBI does? Do you think they investigate every anonymous allegation or then named allegation from 35 years ago that is not a rape, is not even, it's just very nebulous what how you would even categorize it. You think the FBI could possibly justify investigating something like that? You know, that's a local crime, for one thing. It's not a federal crime. It's people haven't crossed state lines. It really is ridiculous. And yet we go, oh yeah, the FBI should investigate. It's just, it is just ridiculous. And could I repeat that the local law enforcement agents, I think it's Montgomery County, Maryland, are not investigating because no one ever reported anything. And it happened 35 years ago and the statute of limitations is up. But then again, I'm, sort of telling you how I feel about it. I want to know how you feel about it. I mean, do you think she should be allowed to testify? Should a woman with this kind of a story, given the details, be given credibility? Do you think it's smart that Chuck Grassley has delayed the vote on Thursday in the Judiciary Committee and has rescheduled it for Monday? I really would like to know your thoughts about this and other things, the repercussions on our society, for one thing. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Patsy in Louisiana. Good morning, Patsy.
Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
I am just beside myself this morning. Have been for a couple of days. I'm so thankful that you're allowing me to speak. But I can speak as an honest victim of sexual abuse from being a little girl until I was 16 years old. It was a horrible life that I led. Nobody knew. People still don't know to this day. But I would like for somebody to find out who paid this woman, how much they paid her. This is a new low for the Democrats. They have lost their minds. This is not true, I guarantee you. But see, people forget, God never slumbers, God never sleeps. And
Patsy,
I have to believe that in the end, the truth will come to light. But I
Patsy,
pray it comes before this man is destroyed.
Yes, Patsy, now, as a person who's experienced real sexual abuse, how is it that you can disqualify her story? And why is it that you would have a bit of anger toward her? I'm just asking that question.
She's lying. She's lying. Someone has paid this woman. And why would you come forth? I mean, she wasn't raped. I mean, nothing really happened to this woman. I was the victim of sexual abuse. At the age of 4 years old, these men would stand me on a toilet seat and do horrible things to me. And I know what it means to be sexually abused.
And this
woman said her life was destroyed. Look at where she is. Her life has not been destroyed. Everything that comes out of her mouth is a lie.
Patsy, I actually asked that question of you because I knew that you, because you just illustrated what I couldn't say. And that is that by calling this kind of an incident, by claiming that she thought he was going to kill her, she actually said that, and that it destroyed her life.
It gets worse by the minute.
Yeah, well, but the point is, then stories like yours, you and I both know that sexual abuse of women and boys, too, can destroy your life. It can set you off course for a lifetime. It can harm your soul and your spirit in ways that you can't even describe. So when someone uses this same term and puts their very mild, silly teenage story, I'll get criticized, I don't care, alongside of a story like yours and puts it in the same bucket and calls it the same thing, it denigrates the legitimate stories that women do need to be able to report or tell and be heard and listened to. It makes us less listened to, less people, less willing to believe us when people like Christine Blasey Ford make these absurd claims about what has allegedly happened with Brett Kavanaugh. And, you know, I'd say it's
right.
The same thing with racism, Patsy. It's like, everything is racism now, so that real racism, which is so harmful and deadly to the spirit and the soul, is coupled in with, you know, you didn't vote for health care, national health care, so you're a racist. And it just dilutes the real meaning. It makes our words meaningless, and it reduces our outrage and natural righteous indignation at the real thing, because it becomes just all of it's just a basket of nothingness. But to Patsy,
may I make one more statement?
Sure, sure.
I accepted the Lord when I was 32 years old, mm-hmm. and that changed my life tremendously. But I am still not totally healed from that stuff. And when I hear stuff like this, can I tell you, it makes me so angry and so upset that these people are willing to destroy a good man. And I will guarantee you, if you look back at what people did at age 15, 16, 17 years of age, they are not the same people that they were back then. Everyone does stupid stuff, but I don't, there is not one word of truth to what this woman is saying. Somebody needs to get on this and find the money and find her reasoning, and she needs to be ashamed of herself for coming forth and bringing her forth. This is just a Hail Mary for the Democrats, and they're hoping to destroy this honest, upstanding family man, and may God have mercy on their souls.
Yeah, Patsy, well said. You know, I would have to add that anyone who wears a pink vagina hat on their head and gives to causes like Emily's List, which pays for, you know, supports candidates that support the abortion for any reason for young women and girls, is not going to feel sorry or ashamed unless God should bring her to that. Something should happen in her life. I don't think that we can expect that. But the other part about Christine Blasey Ford's past that's coming out is that her parents filed, let's see, there was a foreclosure on their house, I think, in the late 90s. In Montgomery County, Maryland, and the judge that oversaw that foreclosure was Brett Kavanaugh's mother. I think her name is Mary Kavanaugh. So that's another wrinkle in this case that needs to be explored. But, you know, the media has to get interested and start investigating. I can tell you conservative media is. They are all over this. I think they will be revealing things about her. Probably we're already hearing things. And I've told you, I started yesterday telling you things that we're hearing. We just have to verify them. Like one thing came out yesterday that she was on a Facebook, I don't know if it was Facebook or it was some social media outlet. Students were weighing in criticism of a professor named Christine Ford. And I think I even actually read a couple of those to you. And now it turns out there's a different professor named Christine Ford at a different university in Southern California, not Palo Alto. So it wasn't her. So you have to be careful. It takes time to vet these things and make sure they're very accurate. But the things I've told you this morning have all been verified, and I'm sure more things will be coming out, and we'll find out. We'll find out, but will Brett Kavanaugh's reputation survive this? I think of Justice Moore. He's a pedophile. He's a, what do they call him repeatedly? A child molester. A man of such incredible integrity. And they brought out accuser after accuser. Who paid them? What happened to them? Who ever found out? I'm just telling you, it's a replay of that. It's a replay of the Clarence Thomas hearing in the late 90s where Anita Hill accused him. I wish we could go back in time. If I could say the words on radio, I would. They're actually not even that bad compared to what we're talking about and hearing these days. But the things Anita Hill accused Justice Thomas of were just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And they made it a circus, and they sullied him for life. Even though he went ahead to serve on the court, and he is the most conservative justice on the court, writing wonderful opinions all the time, but that black mark is always there in the memory of Clarence Thomas. They damage people for their life. All right, let's go to Texas and talk to Charlinda. Hi, Charlinda. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for everything that you do to bring these things to light in our society, which is desperately in need of it. I just have to say that I agree with Patsy. I, too, am a victim of, I am a victim of rape. And I was raped by my father's best friend and then forced to be around him every day. And I had tremendous guilt until I turned it over to the Lord. And I have no guilt anymore, but it drove this poor man who raped me to a nervous breakdown. So he was the one that ultimately really and truly suffered for what he had done to me. And I really hate what Dianne Feinstein is doing. And I wonder, too, if George Soros' money is behind all of this again. Once again, his name comes to my mind. And you know what the Bible says? Those who are without sin cast the first stone. And I would like to be able to go back in her past to see everything that she's done brought to light to embarrass her as much as she's trying to embarrass a fine man like Brett Kavanaugh, who I believe God will allow to be confirmed to the Supreme Court.
Well, Charlinda, okay, thanks, Charlinda. And that story is just amazing. I appreciate you telling us that to make the point. You know, I think probably it sounds as though your father's friend had some conscience. And I honestly, you know, we can sear our consciences. That's what the Bible talks about. And if that doesn't make sense to people who are not used to that word, it's where we repeatedly defy God and do what we want and sin. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And soon nothing bothers us. And I do think that's where a lot of people are. I don't even know, like, think of the men, you know, trying to break down the door at Lot's home during when the angels visited Lot and Sodom. You know, do you think they had remorse about what they did? You see, we are dealing in an age where people are way beyond that, I think. There's just a deadness to God and a hardness of heart and mind. I find that among women who have had abortions, not all of them, certainly, but women who've never repented or come face to face and are who are defiant and angry. I find a seared conscience and a hardness of spirit that you can recognize it. You can see it in their eyes and their actions. And so I think that we're dealing with a lot of that, just hard, hard hearts and hard consciences. And I don't expect that there'll be much repentance. And even if you went back in her life and found out stuff that she'd done that you and I might consider bad behavior, I doubt there'd be much shame. You know, I think of this story. Tom Perez, who is the DNC chair right now, is calling for an investigation into the sexual misconduct against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. But at the same time, Tom Perez is not so worried about Keith Ellison. Remember, Keith Ellison is I think he's the co-chairman. At least he was up for chairman. I'm not sure if they end up being co-chairman or not. But Ellison, remember, his girlfriend of a long time accused him of abuse. She has text, she has a video, and she's actually quite upset about it. She says that the Democrats don't believe her, and she said even though she's given them information, she's handed over evidence of counselors and all the problems that Keith Ellison has caused her in terms of abusing her as a woman and sexually also, and she said they don't believe her. So she's speaking out about that, but the point is the Democratic leaders don't care so much about that, but they're all over this whole thing with Brett Kavanaugh. This has become a political weapon that they are bludgeoning conservatives with, and they have taken lots of scalps, I have to say. Joe in Alabama. Good morning, Joe.
I really don't feel very adequate to come after those first two ladies, but any rate, that's the way it's laid out, so I'll deal with what's, I've been dealt. I do have some thoughts. My first and foremost thought is Senator Feinstein ignored this letter for so long. Why shouldn't all of us ignore it? I don't understand why we should get all agitated over it when she obviously did.
Oh, that's a good point, Joe. That's a good point, but that would be common sense, and I'm not sure is anything common about the sense that we have right now. Right. You have another thought, don't you, Joe? Joe, hold on a second. Yes. We have to take a break. Yes, it's just a couple of minutes. Ma'am. Can you hold on?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll be right back with you in just a second. This is Sandy Rios. By the way, the phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. What should happen with this accuser of Brett Kavanaugh? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
What is the source of America's greatness? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Alexis de Tocqueville, a 19th century French political thinker and philosopher, had this exact same question. On the heels of the French Revolution, he came to America in 1831 to investigate America's ascendancy. In doing so, he found that America's greatness did not lie in her economic system. It did not lie in her banking system, nor did it lie in her educational system. He found America's pulpits aflamed with righteousness was the source of America's greatness. He opined that America is great because she is good. But when America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Let us pray for a restoration of the flame of righteousness in our pulpits.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Brett Kavanaugh is now facing shameless and unprovable accusations of scandalous sexual misconduct. These charges refer to an incident that happened, if it happened at all, 36 years ago, and for which there is not a shred of corroborating evidence. Such unverifiable smears against a good man's character should never be permitted. Jesus himself made it very clear in Matthew 18:16 that no accusation against a man's character should be accepted unless it is confirmed by a minimum of two or three witnesses. A witness is someone who saw and heard what happened. But there are no other witnesses, not a single one, who substantiate her accusations. The Senate should dismiss this effort to slime Brett Kavanaugh's good name and put him on the Supreme Court immediately.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Good news. You are not stuck with your health care plan. Really. You have a choice, and it's a great one. It's called MediShare, and if you've heard about it and wondered what exactly it is, it's a way that people share their healthcare bills, and these are people who have a common faith, who want to be part of something beautiful that not only meets their healthcare needs, but the needs of others, too. And it's people who love to save money, big time. MediShare members typically save $500 a month per family on their healthcare costs. That is a life changer for people. So this could be for you. Maybe it's what you've been looking for, a way to pay healthcare bills that's not only very smart financially, but it's even profound. MediShare is a nonprofit with 400,000 members nationwide who pray for and share with each other. So yes, you're not stuck. There's another way, and it could save you a lot. Hit *345 to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. Message and data rates may apply. That's *345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un today commended President Trump for stabilizing the peninsula his country has relentlessly sought to dominate since its founding. But the stability Kim is pursuing means preserving his nuclear arsenal, not eliminating it, and achieving unification with South Korea on his terms. The backdrop for Kim's remark was yet another summit meeting with President Moon Jae-in of South Korea. With each passing day, Moon, a longtime leftist apologist for the North, has doubled down on appeasing, legitimating, and empowering the Stalinist regime across the demilitarized zone. For example, in the run-up to today's meeting, Moon's government has reportedly transferred billions of dollars worth of equipment and other materiel in connection with establishing a so-called liaison office. Such an infusion will only serve to prop up Kim and perpetuate the nuclear threat he poses. That's a false and dangerous stability. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You guys have such wisdom. And we're going to talk about Brett Kavanaugh and his accuser, Christine Blasey Ford. We're going to go back to that in just a second. But I just wanted to tell you, I just got this in my inbox. Project Veritas has just released their latest undercover video, and this time they've gone behind the scenes at the State Department. And the person featured is a man named Stuart Carafa, and this is what he says in the video: resist everything on every level. F human excrement up. Veritas, the bullet points. Democratic Socialists of America are embedded in the federal government. And they're actively resisting. Stuart Carafa does work for the Democratic Socialists while on taxpayers' dime. And he says, I'm careful about it. I don't leave a paper trail. I have nothing to lose. It's impossible to fire federal employees. And so there's a lot more to that. But you're going to be hearing about that today. That's a late breaking. That's a story that just broke a few minutes ago. Then you probably heard last night that President Trump has decided to declassify all the information between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and the FISA warrants, as I understand it, as well. Devin Nunes is talking about this. You've probably seen him on Fox several times. And so the other thing, we're going to find out what that insurance policy was. The insurance policy that Peter Strzok mentioned, this is basically what they said in the text that we know about. I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, Andy McCabe, that there's no way he gets elected, meaning Trump. But I'm afraid we can't take the risk. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40, as Peter Strzok said to Lisa Page. But Devin Nunes is saying he thinks there's a lot more to that insurance policy, a lot more explicit. And now the American people will probably find out, because all the interactions, many of them, between Bruce Ohr, who was leaking stuff to the FBI left and right. His wife was working for Fusion GPS, who prepared the phony dossier. And also James Comey and other members of the Congress are going to be, we're going to find out exactly what they did say. It's going to be declassified. Not sure when that's going to happen. And along with that, another breaking story. Bob Mueller has asked for the court to schedule General Michael Flynn's sentencing. So he's wanting to move this. Now, they have delayed it four times. Remember that General Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI on one count. But, of course, the FBI later said he didn't lie, and it was Peter Strzok who was one of the agents who interrogated him. The whole thing smells to high heaven. And they're going to wait and sentence him after the election in November. Meanwhile, General Flynn has been held in silence. He can't speak about this. And I told you he's been pretty much bankrupted. I don't know if he's literally bankrupted, but he's had to sell a house. His children have had to pay a lot of money. He likely faces a sentence of between 0 and 6 months in prison and a fine between $500 and $9,500 for his crime. His crime. No crime. He did not collude with the Russians. He was the incoming national security advisor to the president. He had every right to speak to the Russians. He was, yay, verily, he should have spoken to the Russians. He was accused by Sally Yates of the Justice Department of breaking the Logan Act, which had never been enforced. It was something on the books from the late 1700s about private citizens negotiating with foreign powers. But Michael Flynn wasn't just a private citizen. He was the incoming national security advisor. And now, juxtapose that with this. John Kerry is actually actively going to the head of Iran and telling them not to hold on and don't worry about those sanctions. We'll get this all taken care of as soon as we get rid of Trump. That's basically what he's communicating. He's all over the new airwaves. He's talking to the European Union, telling them not to worry about the trade deals, that we're going to get rid of Trump. And so Senator Marco Rubio has found his voice on some issues, at least lately, and I'm very grateful for that. He's just written a letter asking the Justice Department to investigate if John Kerry has, in fact, violated federal laws, and perhaps even he, the Logan Act, which, again, is kind of an act that's never, no one has ever taken that to heart. No one's ever been prosecuted. It's centuries old. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander. John Kerry's a private citizen. He has no right to do that. So that's just an interesting thing that I wanted to interject. Okay, I want to go back to Joe in Alabama. Joe had asked the question before we took the break, if Dianne Feinstein had that letter from Christine Blasey Ford and she thought it was so serious an accusation and she sat on it and did nothing about it until after the hearing was over, if she wasn't concerned, why should we be? And then Joe, again, here we are with you. What is the other point you wanted to make?
Well, that one was my first one, but also this thing smells a whole lot to me like the Duke lacrosse team and the fraternity party deal.
Yeah.
Senator Duckworth is so interested in giving the accusers a voice, and certainly I understand that there's a time and a place for that. But what I'm saying is, in these kind of situations, sometimes the accuser makes stories up, or at least greatly embellishes the truth.
Yes, that's true, Joe. And also, you're in Alabama. You know this well. It wouldn't now, according to Feinstein, she's already hinting at this. What about another girl? What a girl about a girl when he was in college? Oh, yeah. And I was at a bar on, you know, 10th and such on, in 1987. And he touched me inappropriately. And then another one called, yeah, you know, and I was, I knew him in law school. And, you know, it doesn't take much. This is what they did with Judge Moore. This is what they've done with
exactly.
others. Yeah, you can get women to say just about anything because women have no shame now. And I'm not all women. Of course, not all women. A lot of women have too much shame, like Patsy and Charlinda. And many of us. So where does this stop? Where does this stop? How many more Christine Blasey? How many Christine Blasey Fords are going to come forward? Are we going to stop this hearing every time and let them come forth and sit in front of the Judiciary Committee and tell their stories? They're nothing burger stories. They're false, wild accusations. Do we have to vet everyone? It's just, where is the line? Joe, last word from you.
Yes. Where was Ms. Duckworth and Senator Feinstein when Juanita Broderick was accusing? I don't recall them helping her have a voice. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, very good, Joe. And Joe's referring to Juanita Broderick, who I've talked to several times. Juanita has proof that she was raped by Bill Clinton twice. And the reason I know twice, because Henry Hyde, Congressman Henry Hyde, was a good friend of mine. I did the first interview with him after the impeachment hearings in the House. He came into my studio, and we talked and talked and talked. And he told me between a commercial break, Sandy, Juanita Broderick wasn't raped just once. She was raped twice by Bill Clinton. It's just a horrendous story. And she had she told enough people, and she had enough medical evidence that it was a true story. And she's tried to speak about it, and Joe's right. They won't listen. That, to them, has no credibility. But this story from Christine Blasey Ford about being thrown on a bed and having Brett Kavanaugh cover her mouth and touch her and try to get her bathing suit off, but not succeed and not rape her, nothing like that. And he was very drunk. That somehow is equitable to the what I view as the true stories of sexual abuse. Pete in South Carolina, good morning.
Hey, Sandy. This show is proof that you need to be on for 2 hours every morning.
Well, that's very sweet of you.
Well, listen, it's amazing. Yeah, you're spot on. And you know, God bless your first two callers, Betsy and Charlene, for what they've actually gone through in their lives. And you articulated the point perfectly after when you're talking with Betsy about when you have these false allegations, it delegitimizes the people who have actually gone through these terrible situations. And, you know, what I was going to say was, you know, with Clarence Thomas, I remember the Clarence Thomas hearings. I think it was 93. And most recently with Roy Moore. And now it's just, and they make it out like, oh, this is shocking. And, oh, you know, what a big story this is. It's not a big story. This is just normal. This is what they do. False allegations. And what became of Karen Nelson? That liar, fraud, Karen Nelson, and Gloria Allred. What happened after George Roy Moore was destroyed? They vanished. Nothing came of it. It really should be a crime to defame someone falsely. It really should be.
Pete, I'm wondering. I just want to ask. I'm getting you off your game here because you're making some great points. But I just have a question. This is for all of you, but Pete's talking with me right now. I wonder how the general public will hear this. I mean, I think Debbie made the point, somebody made the point, Charlinda, somebody, that, you know, there are hardly any people who can't point to some teenage incident or incidences or pattern of behavior that they're embarrassed about.
Okay, I tell you what, I've got a few. And you know, I think the general public is onto this. I really think it's going to become like, the boy who cried wolf moment. It's going to be like, come on, wait a minute. We just went through this with Roy Moore. We know the game. And all the people who love Hillary Clinton and love Barack Obama are going to be crying out, and the rest of us are going to give me a break. But I'll tell you what, you know, I think one of the most important things to make here is that if this is the way they destroy these people, can you imagine with the Democrats, the socialists, the communists,
when they are actually in charge of the three branches of government, imagine what they will do to you and me, to everybody.
Yeah,
listen, the Kristallnacht moment is not far away.
No.
If the Democrats win the election, the Kristallnacht moment is not far away for America.
I don't disagree. No, absolutely, Pete. You are totally right. Pete's talking about that fateful night in Nazi Germany when the all-out assault on the Jews became real and became violent. And I think he's right about that. We're on the verge of some sort of... I'm not sure which way it's going to go. I've been praying about this. It's been a very, it just hurts. There's something about situations like this that hurt us deeply. I've never been sexually abused, so it's not that with me. I can relate to it. I can certainly relate to it, but it's the hurt with me is the hurt to truth, the assault on truth, and the destruction of people's character. I can hardly bear that. And getting away with it, getting away with these false accusations and having success, taking so many heads time and time again. And then what Pete is just saying, that this projecting it out further, this is going to be the story for all of us. We have to defend truth. We just have to. Pete, thank you. Let's go to Amos in Ohio. Amos, good morning.
Good morning. God bless you all at AFR, and God bless Kathy for having the strength to speak out after what happened to her.
Yeah.
My point... first, regarding Mr. Cherry and Mr. Ellison, if liberals didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any standards at all.
Yep.
And with regard to the Kavanaugh thing, the Republicans are collapsing like a house of cards. There used to be a syndicated columnist, Samuel Francis, he said that... we didn't really have Republicans and Democrats anymore. The Democrats had morphed into the evil party, and the Republicans had morphed into the stupid party.
Yeah, Amos, those are two good observations, and, yep, very good points. Let's go to Kathy in North Carolina. Good morning, Kathy.
Yes, I'd like to say that the American people are history blind and politically blind. They're asleep. They don't really know what's going on, and so they get fed whatever the left wants to feed them. But as far as Brett Kavanaugh goes, I would like to say that his life, he is one of those rare lives that were lovingly fed into and directed, and he's not going to do something stupid like that to put his life and his ambitions for his life in jeopardy. So, no, I don't believe that. A lot of kids are raised to stay away from stuff like that, and I believe that he was, and this is just a play by the left.
Yeah.
And
okay, Kathy, very interesting. Thank you. I want to get Debbie in. She has the last word this morning. Debbie, quickly, if you can.
Oh, wow, like a machine gun.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to hear all the conservative talk radio spokespersons major in calling us all in a huge groundswell or a hurricane, if you would, of prayer and communication with our leaders to stand up and do the right thing. Let's get our small groups having special prayer meetings. Let's petition our pastors to preach about this, to have prayer vigils. Let's write letters. Hey, go get your granny, bring your phone to her and have her call. Let's have people like the senators that are on that commission, let's get the people in those states to call them and just don't let it go. Just
Debbie,
don't
that's
let
it excellent, go. Excellent, excellent points, all of them. I wish I could respond, but excellent points. And let me just say, people of the church, this is about truth. This isn't about a candidate. This is about the truth and righteousness and justice. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.